well, everybody, welcome back to another episode of A Place in the Conversation. My name is Dan Neiswanger. I'm the spiritual formation catalyst for A Place in the Conversation, and we're glad to have you join us today. I'm here with my good friend and partner, Nick Everhart. Nick, what's going on in your garden these days?
Oh, well, Dan, I didn't start a garden this year because my vegetable garden, which I've grown vegetables for the last 50 years, I wasn't sure when we were going to be away this summer. And so I didn't want to have everything ready to harvest at a time when we weren't going to be home.
Wow. So, okay. All right, Nick, that's a big thing. So what's going on with the rest of your yard then?
Cutting the lawn, you know, pruning, weeding, that sort of thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, everybody, I've told you before, Nick is a master gardener, and we're waiting for him. Everybody's waiting for you to get the other person who's going to be the guest whenever we start talking about what it means to be a master gardener.
Okay.
So Nick has homework. So this will be, we're waiting for it. It'll be good. Okay, so today we're making a place in the conversation for Sarah Dickens Trillo, and Sarah works for Mighty Writers. And so, Sarah, welcome to A Place in the Conversation.
Well, thank you very much for the invite. I'm very excited.
Good. So, Sarah, tell us a little bit about what you do for Mighty Writers, and then tell us a little bit about the work of Mighty Writers.
So I started with Mighty Writers. It's going to be 4 years. It's just like kind of the time has gone so fast. So I started as a program manager for an after-school program. And then pandemic happened in 2020. And we kind of pretty much changed what I was, you know, planning. So I put the education in the second burner and I focus in providing food. But Mighty Writers is based in Philadelphia and we focus in writing and reading. So that's the focus as a general, but with the pandemic, they pretty much changed the way we've supporting the family as general.
Okay, and that right there, just in and of itself, is you know, we could probably spend, you know, all of our time talking about you know, having to change focus as a result of the pandemic. What are some of the lessons that you guys learned as you went and, you know, were forced to change your whole focus because of the pandemic?
I think that lesson number one that I personally learned was that although education is very important, I think that we weren't really focusing as the whole person or the whole student. I feel that we didn't focus on what were the needs of the child. We just knew that they were to the school and we wanted them to prepare them for better education without knowing exactly the struggles that they were having, especially the Latino population here in this community.
Okay. And so one of the I guess I like to talk about it as one of the gifts of the pandemic. You know, it didn't feel like a gift when we were walking through it, but I guess you would say one of the gifts of the pandemic is that it helped you, helped Mighty Writers see past what was your sharp focus in writing and education, and to see the whole child and see all of the needs that existed there and allowed you to step in and meet some of those.
Absolutely. And I always said that it was a very hard lesson, but I think that it was like a flashlight pointing out what were the really needs in the community that we, unfortunately, as a community, would not see were happening in our own backyards.
Wow. Okay. Well, thank you. Appreciate that. And so you work with Mighty Writers here in Kennett. And so what does Mighty Writers in Kennett do? What's the focus there?
So our focus, like I mentioned, we are an after-school program to support the students. We want to prepare them and we'd be ready to pass them on. So we here in Kennett, we have different classes, but we focus in after-school with our children from first grade all the way to fifth grade, and then we want to pass them on to the other programs around. In Philadelphia, they go from first grade all the way to 12th grade. Here, our focus is to support the students and their parents. So with the pandemic, once again, we find out that a lot of our families were losing their jobs and there were other needs. And for security is one of them. So we want to make sure that we support them, providing lunches for the children and at the same time providing food for the families that they were losing their jobs.
Okay. And so how did that change? How did that impact the way that Mighty Riders worked and moved? I mean, because, you know, the education piece and then, you know, providing food, like that's two totally different skill sets. That's two totally different worlds.
Yes.
How'd you guys navigate that?
I always said that I didn't really think, because if I had think about it, I probably haven't done it. So I tend to jump. And then like when I'm in the air, like, oh my goodness, where am I going to land? So I knew that there was a lot of needs and I knew that it was a lot of food insecurity. And one of the things that it really opened up my eyes was that the children at this time were serving the kids at the West Grove School District, Avon Grove School District. The kids weren't getting their lunches because the parents needed to go in a car to pick up the lunches for every child. A lot of our families we serve, they don't have transportation. A lot of the families we serve, there is one parent household. And a lot of the parents that we work with, they have to go and get, you know, work to have the food. So they couldn't bring their children. So we knew that it was a lot of children not getting their lunches. So that's pretty much how it started. Okay. With the help of the Garage Youth Center. Christine Proto opened up the doors of the Garage Youth Center in West Grove.
Okay, beautiful. Mm-hmm. All right. And so I know that, you know, we were talking before we started and you were sharing that there's some changes coming up for you personally and also for Mighty Riders. You want to talk a little bit about those changes?
Absolutely. So my husband and I decided that we wanted to relocate. I would like to, you know, we're going to be going back to El Paso, Texas. That's where I live when I came from Mexico to United States. And my father and my siblings still live there. My dad is going to be 97 in July. And I think it's time for me to go back and be with him and spend as much time as a little time possible with him and with my family and to go and open up Mighty Riders El Paso. So I'm very excited that the executive team asked me if I was willing to open a center over there and impact families in a positive way. So I say, yes, I took the challenge.
Yeah. Like, I think that's exciting. As you were sharing that, you know, before we hit record here, you know, you were talking about how you went in and said, well, you know, it's time for me to leave. Family is a great driver to make decisions, you know, to relocate and stuff. Relocation is not easy. It's no. hard. But to do it for family is a good thing. So it's hard for them to sit there and say, no, we can't, you know, we're not going to let you do that or whatever. Not yes. that they could anyway. But their response, to see, you know, rather than just see the loss of you, but to be able to think forward a little bit and be able to say, wait a minute, where's the opportunity in this? And the opportunity to open up a Mighty Riders in El Paso, Texas. Like, yes. It's probably not in their 5-year plan, probably not in their 10-year plan, probably not in their 20-year plan, right? To expand to El Paso. But because of the situations in people's lives and the way that we can move around, now all of a sudden there's an opportunity.
Absolutely.
And that's kind of cool. I like that forward way of thinking. So as you think about that, what's going to be some of the biggest challenges as you go back and try to do that?
So one of the things, you know, that I was able to, you know, the executive team to us, you know, to probably ask me to if I was willing to open up a center in El Paso, it was just for me to kind of like close my circle and go back and give back to the community. I haven't been there for a long, long time. So I go visit and my family is over there. And I know there is a lot of challenges as well, especially in this part of where I'm going to be working. That is, although it's El Paso, Texas, it's like saying Philadelphia, but then you come to a small town like Gannett or, you know, Avondale. And so this is a small town where we, you know, where I would like to go, where there is only one small church. One is more clinic, one elementary school, and one grocery store. And I think it's a park with no grass. So I think that that's what I would like to go. There's going to be a lot of challenges. They don't know me, but I am going to try my best to let them know that I'm there to support them and help them and open up a center and hopefully a cardboard as well.
Good. That's fantastic. You know, and so it's kind of a unique situation. To be able to sit down and spend a little bit of time talking with you, as somebody who has been here, has been a part of the community for, is it 9 years?
9 years.
Mm-hmm. So you've been a part of the Kennett community for 9 years. You know, you've been instrumental in helping meet some very real needs in our community. Nick and I were having lunch today up at the market, and we ran into Joan Holliday, and she asked what we were doing, and we told her that we were going to be talking with you, and Joan right away said, "Oh no, I can't believe that we're losing her." You know, so there's a lot of people who appreciate the work that you've done.
Thank you.
So it's interesting to be able to sit down and have a conversation and to ask, you know, during your time here, what are some of the things that you can point to and say, yeah, this is really good, this is really positive about the Kennett community, and this is the kind of stuff that we need to celebrate? Because sometimes we take things for granted, right? Yes. And we don't celebrate those things that need to be celebrated. And then at the same time, there's always opportunities for improvement around us. And so in your eyes, as you look at the Kennett community, where are there opportunities for us to do better in caring for each other?
Well, I think that when the pandemic hit and we got together with ESCON, and it was, you know, this wonderful group that it was already here before pandemic, but I don't think we took advantage of it. And I'm really glad that we didn't, because then you open up a better door to all come together. And there was a lot of organizations and nonprofits, churches, the health department, and everyone come together and say, how can we support the people that they're being, you know, having more struggles, because everybody has their own struggles. But I think that there is certain communities that unfortunately are having a lot more struggles than others. And for me, it was just like having the opportunity to really explain and as a leader of the community and as working with Mighty Riders, what are the needs that our families are suffering, that unfortunately a lot of people don't see them. You know, we live in the way we live in every place in the world is that you live in your little circle, and that's just little circle. It can be the church, it can be your friends, it can be your family, it can be whoever, right? And we don't kind of notice about what is happening next door. And I think that the pandemic kind of like came together and say there is a lot of needs around the corner, and you don't realize. And these children that they're suffering these food insecurities, and these children that are sleeping on the floor, and these children that, you know, that is happening so many things are going to the same schools than your own children. Yeah. And people don't realize that.
Yeah. Could I ask a question here? What was the forum where these groups all came together at the beginning of the pandemic?
What was the forum?
You mentioned an organization.
Oh, so it's actually ESCON, and I don't know if you participate in that. A lot of churches do.
Yeah.
And so it's just it was a group that Square Roots Collective put together.
Okay, gotcha.
And that was the ones, the conversations that organizations will come and talk about different subjects.
Well, I didn't understand that, and I think some of the listeners might not have known that as well.
Yeah.
So thank
you. It stands for Southern Chester County Opportunity Network.
Okay.
Correct.
Yeah.
Doesn't stand for Square Roots Connective.
No.
Okay. No.
It's Southern Chester County Opportunity Network, and Kate.
I forgot her last name.
I'm going to say it was Daneker, but she got married. So, mm-hmm. But Kate was the one who ran and facilitated it, and she did a fantastic job, knocked it out of the park.
Absolutely.
Facilitating it, and it was very, very well done. And sometimes there would be 45 people on a Zoom call, all different service agencies throughout the wider Kennett, Southern Chester County area, and everybody coming to the table not to advance their agenda or say, we have the answers, but everybody kind of coming and saying, listening to what the needs are, and then being able to say, yeah, I can help with this. We can help with this. We can, and that there was a lot of really, really good positive energy coming out of that. It was tremendous work. Yeah.
It was. Yeah. And yeah. I think that at the beginning when I started, I think they started like with 80 something organizations. And it can probably be like one or two people were, from the same organization there. But I can do say that when I was in those conversations, I was able to get support from the food bank because at that time we were just asking for donations. And another one was the West Grove United Methodist Church, that they actually invited us to their church, and we did our drive-through food distribution there for 2 years, and we serve the last numbers were 500 numbers. So now the food bank help us and support us to open up in. We open up our center, an after-school program, and so now we have our after-school programs. Place or center and in a in-house pantry where the families can come in and pick out their food.
That's fantastic.
Yes.
Yeah. And so Sarah, that's an example. It's one of the things that I think we don't often celebrate enough is the way that all of these groups often come together, whether it's through bridging the community, whether it's through SCON.
Correct.
There is an opportunity to come together, and there is an amazing amount of partnership that does take place within our community. But as you take a look at, think about your time here, what would you say, hey, here are some of the opportunities for us to do better?
To do better.
To help those who have needs that we might not be aware of.
Correct. So I think that there is always a room to growth, right? There is always a room that we can do better, even if we don't have to do a stream, but we can do little. And one of the things I believe is that a lot of the people, when you reach out, and I'm one of them, that they always receiving an email from me, can you please support us, is that a lot of people think that it has to be a large amount of money or a large amount of a donation. And curious enough, $1 can make a difference. And a lot of people think that they cannot help because they don't have that. Volunteering, I think that there is another part that I think that there is a lot of organizations and there is a different ways and opportunities to support. I think that there is a need of more volunteers and more into the Latino population. Not necessarily, a lot of times, like, for instance, we work with our youth, we work with children. These children are divided. So half of the family is in Guatemala. I'm going to speak about the families coming from Guatemala, and the families and the other half might be here. So it can be a father with a couple of children, a mom with a couple of children. And so those children, unfortunately, and our families do not live in their own household. They actually live and rent a house and they rent a room, and there is several other families, other people living in the same household. So what we find out is that a lot of the kids that are coming to our program, they're really behind, even though they are at the age level, or they put them in whatever grade they might be, they're about 2 to 3 years behind than any other child. And we're finding out that a lot of these kids, all they need is somebody to be there to them and just listen to them. Yeah. And a lot of times we don't take that time to kind of like just sit next to a child and let them talk about their day, because their mom or their dad, they're not there to do it. Yeah. So that's all we need. We don't want you to come in and try to change somebody's life or do too much. Just be there, a warm body to listen to a child.
Yeah. And so, so if somebody's listening to this and their response to that is, yeah, but I don't know Spanish.
They know English.
But the children know English, yes. Right? Yeah, that's it.
They know English and they just get them, you know, just get a book, say that to the, you know, next to them. They don't need a lot.
Yeah, yeah. And that's one of the things that, you know, Monte Horeb is the Guatemalan church that meets here at the church at First Baptist. And I've slowly developed a relationship with them over the years. And one of the things that just always fascinates me about it is I can't speak, I can speak two or three phrases in Spanish, just enough to get by. And the children, though, you know, they're the ones that, you know, when they walk past me, we can have a conversation and it's just, it changes things. And you can watch it change the relationship with the parents, because you start talking to the children and the children start talking to you and the parents are standing off to the side watching, and they might not understand what we're saying, but what they know is that you care about their child.
Absolutely.
And the fact that you care about their child is, that's important.
Absolutely.
And that's a value.
That's very important.
And that kid, that's just, we did a community Thanksgiving service just this past year. And as we were, Nancy and I, my wife and I were getting ready to walk to the car, all of a sudden there were these young voices yelling, "Goodbye, Pastor Dan. Goodbye, Pastor Dan." It was all the young kids from Monte Horeb mm-hmm. who were coming out of the service, you know, saying
yes.
goodbye. And I was like, okay.
Yes.
That's kind of...
For me, obviously, everyone is very important. But since I started working with the Guatemalan, you know, community, and we had got, you know, a lot of them coming through the pandemic because of the way the works they were doing in other states and the mushroom industry continue here. So they were coming here. They are people that you don't see them a lot around because they're hiding because they don't feel safe or secured. But they're such a beautiful people. They have a wonderful heart and they come for villages. So there are, you know, obviously everybody's different and they come and, you know, people tend to judge a whole, you know, community because of a couple people, bad apples. But my point is that these families and these children, they're here because they care for the children. Otherwise, they wouldn't be here trying to support them and working and living worse than where they were living in their country of origin, because even if they were over there suffering things, they still have their own little house and they have their own little, you know, food. And one of the things that I'm trying to do in our food pantry is to make sure that we gave out those culturally familiar food, that way they can kind of like connect and they feel that, although they're far away from home, they can still feel, you know, remember their house, their home.
That's it. Nick, do you look like you've got a question?
Well, it's sort of a comment. I learned a lot here today about what Mighty Writers does, but I'm sort of surprised. It's like a revelation, because the name of the organization doesn't begin to talk about all the things that you're involved with. It doesn't really give you a good idea at all of what you're doing. Can you say more about that?
Yes, absolutely. So like I mentioned, so we are an after-school program that we focus in writing and reading to prepare their students when they go to the university to, you know, to be successful. I think that when Mighty Writers came into the, you know, this community, to the Kennett community, I kind of changed the way we were serving. Although writing and reading is very important, we needed to make sure that we, you know, we were able to support the needs that they have. So from there, I kind of did a lot of initiatives of asking for different things. The name is Mighty Writers. I just think that we just mighty, and we're just trying to help and do whatever we can to support the families at large. But it is very confusing.
Yes.
You know, when you ask for a grant, it goes, what did you need your grant for? And we ask, oh, for food. Because you give food. Okay. So, yes. But that's one of the things that it is confusing, but I just we want to interpret it that we just mighty and we're trying to support the whole family as a whole. Because we do, as I learn the needs of the community, for instance, when we were giving the food distribution in West Grove, one of the things is like, I always tell my children, you know, we judge people the way we see things. And I remember, you know, we providing food for the families, and there was this mom with, she had like about 6 children. And I went to help her to take food, or I sometimes would knock at the door because I know they were working to drop off the lunches for the kids. And every time I would go, I will see, they open up the door and I will see blankets in the floor. And in my head, the kids were playing house. Until one day, after several months of dropping off food, I went and I got the courage because somebody asked me to ask. And it was either my mom, God, whoever it was, that I needed to ask her. And I was embarrassed to ask her, but I did. And I said, did you need beds? And she said, yes. He goes, if you can get me the biggest bed you can find, the biggest mattress you can find, I can sleep with all my children. Wow. And that's when it was like, I got home. I remember calling my sister in Germany and crying all the way home. And then I called my husband and I said, can you please get all the sleeping bags and all the blankets that we have there, you know, that we use once a year, once every 2 years, once every 3 years, and please let me have them. And then another one was, it was one of my daughter's best friend, my little one. She was in kindergarten. And we did the learning pods when the pandemic happened. So this young girl was part of this learning pod. And I remember one day she's like, you know, she didn't come. And I will make sure I bring them lunch because I knew that they needed the food. And I knock at the door and she came out. And I go, why didn't you want to, you know, to class? And then she said, oh, Miss Sarah, I was so cold I couldn't get up. And it was October. It was not even cold. It was just getting cooler. And then I told my husband, okay, I have to start asking my neighbors for blankets and sleeping bags. And that's how pretty much I started all my initiatives, you know, asking for sleeping bags, asking for blankets. And I started asking the things that I knew that they were needing. Yeah. So, you know, I do have a big list of things that I asked, but that was like a learning, you know, a lot of, I had a lot of beautiful lessons, in my life, but here, the work that I have done through my writers and this community had opened my eyes in an amazing way. Yeah. And we have a very generous community here. We have a community that is very generous. All we have to do is ask, and it doesn't have to be much. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people think that they have to give a lot to be able to help, and it's not. You can just give a dollar. You can just give what you have. Your time, the most valuable thing we have, right? Our time. That was impact a lot of people's lives.
Yeah. You know, so I was listening to you talk about that. Like one of the things that strikes me is that, you know, sometimes you can go in to work with a group of people or an individual and want to help them in one area. But if you're not taking care of, you know, basic issues like food and housing and, you know, making sure that they're safe and comfortable and that they feel safe. You can try to teach them to read as much as you want, and you can have the best teachers there. But if they're dealing with just the basic things of life, they're not going to learn to read because their mind is focused on just survival.
Correct.
But as soon as you can take care of some of those basic things, it opens the door.
Absolutely.
For them to be able to focus on the learning how to read and the growing, and it provides the opportunity for a deeper kind of growth. And so
absolutely. Yeah. And one of the things that I can, you know, if you don't mind me saying, is that when I actually started with Mighty Writers and the pandemic hit as a part-time employee, you know, we had to put it in hold. And I remember they came back, you know, my boss reached out to me like a couple of days later, a week. He goes, how things are over there, you know, calling me from Philly. And And I said, well, they don't look too good. And at this time, I was still going to the Gratitude Center to help them and support them. But I remember she asking me, she goes, do you think that we can do like online to help the kids continue? And then I asked her, I got the guts to ask her. And I said, are we here to stay? Or are we here just to kind of test the water? And then she's like, what do you mean? I go, are we here to stay? Are we here to try to put a center here and support that community? And she goes, of course. And I go, okay, then we have to take care of their immediate needs.
Yeah.
And their immediate needs is food.
Yeah.
Not putting them in a computer after they've been in a computer for 8 hours already.
Yeah.
And that's how Mighty Riders kind of changed, although the name's still the same. That's pretty much how we renovate ourselves.
Yeah. Good, Sarah. Well, that's just beautiful. I like it. That's fantastic. So Sarah, if somebody's listening today and they're thinking that they might want to help contribute to the work of Mighty Riders or come as a volunteer, what's the best way to get in touch with Mighty Riders, and what's the best way to contribute?
So they can go to mightyriders.org. They can reach out to me. My email will continue to be the same. I will continue to support my team over here. And what we usually do is they feel comfortable, just go to donate, they can write an email. There is an email I read as well in the homepage, and they can just put Kenneth.
Okay.
We do have a separate account for our community, because we find out that a lot of people, when they were supporting us at the beginning, they wanted to make sure that their money stay in the community. It's very understandable. So Mighty Riders actually, we are the Chester County, Mighty Riders over here. So we supporting this community. So any donations and anything that they give out,
they stay
in the community.
All right. And so one of the things that strikes me as you were sharing and everything, are you still looking for sleeping bags?
Yes, I'm always looking for sleeping bags.
Okay,
now and listen. Blankets.
Okay, people, listen. This is like, this is an easy one, right? This ought to be an easy one for us because, as you were talking about sleeping bags that you use once a year, twice a year, or that you used to use with your kids or your grandkids years ago, but they're up in the attic and they're just sitting there and, you look at them when you go up in the attic and you don't know what to do with them. Here's your chance. Your chance is to give them to Mighty Riders. And let's get them somewhere where they need to go. And, I've reached an age where, you're not putting me in a sleeping bag ever again. And, I'm done sleeping on the ground and sleeping on the floor. And I'm going to go find mine and I'll make sure that it makes its way to Mighty Riders. That's for sure.
Yes.
And my guess is that there's a lot of you out there who fall into that same category, who at one time it might have been a kind of romanticized idea to go out and sleep in a tent, sleep on the ground somewhere. And so you had a sleeping bag. But maybe not so much anymore.
Yes.
Nick, you're kind of laughing. You probably, does that fit you as well?
No, I still enjoy it.
Oh, you still enjoy it?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I slept like that last fall.
Did you really?
Sure, in the Rockies. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah, okay.
I'm planning to do it again.
Wow. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Well, Nick's not giving up his sleeping bag just
not
yet. Not yet. Not yet. Good for you, Nick. That's fantastic. Well, Sarah, listen, thank you very much. Is there anything else that you want to share before we wrap things up here?
Yes, I just want to say thank you to the Kennett community for accepting me when I came 9 years ago. And I was just like tumbling around town and I ended up finding Casa Guanajuato, the Mexican cultural community here, organization that we, we used to do the Cinco de Mayo because of the weather we canceled so many times. One of the best places to go for Day of the Death to learn about our culture. And I got involved as a board member as well. So with Casa Guanajuato, I was a member since I got here. So I was with them for almost 7 years. And then with LCH as well, supporting my last, I just got my, you know, took my, give my seat for the Kennet Trail Alliance. And that's another very important organization, is because it's supporting, once again, our community that they have, don't have transportation. Okay. Lack of transportation is, you know, is happening in our community, and a lot of people don't realize it when you have a car. But when you don't have a car, so they're actually doing trials to get, and hopefully one day soon, maybe not that soon, but one day it will be Kennet all the, or Oxford all the way to Chatsford or something where our families can walk and be able to be safe. So I appreciate and I thank you for inviting me, and to everybody in the community who has supported me, either to give a donation to purchase beds, because we were able to do that as well, sleeping bags and blankets and winter clothes, backpacks, school supplies. So they... I reach out to everyone and everyone helped. So I appreciate for listening and for giving a little bit of, you know, of them to Mighty Riders and or the families that we serve. So please come and visit us. We are in Tufganamen. Please come and check us out. We have a beautiful place that we can, you know, you can come in and see what we're doing, and maybe that will help you to kind of decide if you can want to be a volunteer with the children or in our in-house pantry. We need a lot of volunteers.
Okay. All right. Well, Sarah, listen, thank you very much. Thank you for everything that you've done for Kennet. Thank you for everything that you've done, you know, especially to help make that shift in the midst of the pandemic to like actually meet very, very real needs. And I want to just as we come to a close here, just focus on just a couple of things. And the first of them is exactly that. You know, sometimes all the life gets difficult. I like to talk about them as disruptions that show up in our world. And, you know, the pandemic was certainly a huge disruption. And the temptation often for us is to kind of hunker down and to focus on the disruption, and we miss the opportunity that is there at the same time that the disruption is going on. But, you know, being able to look at the opportunity that exists all around, to look at the need that exists all around, and then to step into that opportunity in the midst of disruption. The story of Mighty Riders is a fantastic example of how good can come out of significant disruptions in our lives. So if you find yourself in a season of disruption, let me encourage you to take a moment to be still, to be quiet, and to ask the question, where is the opportunity in the midst of this disruption for something good to happen? And whenever you discern it, step into it boldly. And then just sit and wait and watch and see what good happens. And the second thing I want to just kind of draw everybody's attention to is the level of partnership and the level of working together within our community. It's one of the things that is just so important, so good. And as Sarah, you know, drew attention to SCON and drew attention to some of the partnerships that they've developed over the years at Mighty Riders with the Methodist Church and with the Garage Youth Center and with just the coming together around meeting a very real need in our community. We don't have to do this work alone. We can see the need. We can share the need with other people. We can come together. We can work together for the common good, and we can celebrate. We can celebrate the small successes. We can celebrate the big successes. We can celebrate whenever we work together to lift other people up. And that is that's just something, Sarah. Thank you being an example of how to do that within our community. And to everybody who's listening, just pray that in the days, the weeks ahead, that you would be abundantly aware of the Spirit of God alive and well and at work in your life.